Hello everyone, and welcome back to Bound to Munich. A bit of a slight detour today. I'm sure everyone has heard all the terrible news that's been happening in Gaza, and in Palestine, and Israel, and all the deaths that have been going on. And it's been weighing on our minds a little bit. So before we kind of get to the usual banter and the usual fun, we just want to pay tribute to all the lives that have been lost in this terrible war, and we want to point everyone towards the United Nations relief work funds for Palestinian refugees, and there's some for the victims of the Hamas attack. So please, if you can spare anything, that'd be absolutely wonderful if you can, and we hope that everyone is doing okay. And with that, it's time to go back to the podcast. And it just feels like pins and needles when I pee. I don't really know what she did to it. Hello everyone, welcome back to Bantam Munich. It's great to have you all, my boys, my boys, my boys. It's been a while. It's been rather three weeks, but we're back, and I'm joined by two ravishing young men. Two strapping young lads with big, juicy lips. I'm joined by Carl Pierce and Nathan Adler. How are you doing, guys?
We're good. We're good. It feels nice to be back on Bantam Munich.
Just
Yeah, it's been a while. We had to drag the old set out.
Yeah, and the podcast equipment as well.
We did. We did. We did. So what happened to Ollie? Ollie's at the wheel.
Oh yeah, well you know what was funny. I was thinking like, oh, thank God I didn't name it Guns and Devils, because I was very close to. But it turns out I fucked up a name anyway.
Maybe no, Bantam Munich's been renewed. Ollie, you know, Ollie's no longer at the wheel.
That's true. Yeah, sadly, but one day he will be back. But speaking of Bantam Munich, I want to open with a question for you guys. Just to kick things off.
Okay.
About our friend Reese, what is your favorite thing about our friend Reese?
It's a lot of things to choose from.
There is, isn't there? His sense of humor is definitely up there.
You know what I like? I like that he owns a snake.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, that is pretty cool, to be fair.
Yeah, that is basic, but I do like that. He also, I think he's a very sweet side to him, which he shows on certain occasions. And in fact, I think that kind of makes it kind of almost more special that it doesn't come out all the time, but you can tell that he's very genuine when he does bring it out. So
He
I
try he tries to he tries to hide it, but not very successfully.
yeah, he's a proper sweetheart. Well, what about you, Carl?
Yeah, but like I just said, a sense of humor.
Oh, sorry.
I do like a sense of humor.
Yeah, he's very funny. He's very unfiltered, which I do quite appreciate.
And those buns of steel, of course.
Oh yes, those buns of steel are. Sometimes I just love to. Oh man,
I think Reese is a really nice laugh.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's easy to get on with.
Like a laugh that lights up the room.
Yes, that is very true. Yeah, I still look back at our quiz we did with Scott and his outrageous laughter along with Carl. It brings a smile to my face every day, every time I listen to it. So yeah, it's absolutely wonderful. But with that, I thought we should start with our weekly West Brom segment. So, guys, what do you think of West Brom's game?
Well, they played Birmingham on Friday night. Birmingham won the war, but their manager lost the battle. So, in that he got sacked for beating West Brom.
Why is he getting sacked? Is it just because they want Rooney because he's a
I
bigger
genuinely
name?
think it's because Wayne Rooney left DC United, and I think maybe they already had something lined up. Like, 'cause it's
Yeah,
really
it's still
suspicious.
done. It is,
Is
isn't it? Yeah.
Birmingham's like best start to the season I can't remember how many years. I read it earlier, but it's a really long time. So they're sixth. Like two, they've just won two games on the bounce, including the derby against West Brom. And then he just gets sacked out of nowhere. And it really reminds me of when they, I can't remember who, which manager it was they sacked, but they were in the playoffs or like 1 point away. And then they decided to bring in Zola and didn't, and then only won two games for the rest of the season. This was Birmingham again, like two or 3 years ago. Was it Gary Rowett they sacked?
Can't remember now.
That rings a bell. But yeah, so it smacks of that.
Have they learned nothing from Bayern Munich when they sacked Nagelsmann for Tuchel and nearly fucked up the whole season?
That's been mental, actually. Yeah, but what's he doing now? Did he get the German job in the end?
Yeah, I think he did.
He's only signed until the end of the Euros. Like, that's his initial contract. And then Bayern's CEO did an interview the other day and called sacking Nagelsmann a mistake.
Jesus. I mean, I think the whole club is a mistake.
Bit harsh.
Well, I mean, I feel like, I don't know.
They've 11 like leagues in a row.
True, but they're never satisfied. Like, you know, what's his face? Won the Champions League with him and he was sacked next season and they're probably still going to win the league.
Who?
Hansi Flick.
Oh, no, he quit.
Did he? Oh, I thought he was sacked.
No, he quit. He quit to take on the German job.
Wow. That worked out well for him.
Yeah, and then he did terrible.
Then he lost to Japan.
No, he was always at odds with the board as well. Like, Hansi Flick, apparently he's quite like hard to get on with. Which probably shows in that he did awful with the German national team.
It was weird, because didn't he manage Bayern Munich as like an interim before and he didn't do very well, I seem to remember.
Yes, I think so.
Really testing my German knowledge right
now. Anyone got any good Bayern Munich? Fun facts?
Really, no.
Kane plays for them.
It's a good fun fact for everyone.
Yeah. Pep never won that UCR when he managed them.
Yeah, that's because he's a ball fraud, isn't it?
Well, it's because Bayern play within the rules. None of the players were on drugs and none of the finances were invented with a crayon.
And none of the referees were bought off.
No.
But Pep would never do that though, would he?
No, of course not.
No. He's also not racist, I hear.
But West Brom lost 3-1 to Birmingham. Swift scored in the fifth minute. And then Birmingham scored with Bakuna. I guess maybe he's related to Burkina Faso. Sanderson and Gardner. So, yeah. Okay.
Craig Gardner.
It might be.
No way. He's like 38. Yeah.
But they're doing all right, West Brom. They're Devon for the moment. So, you know.
Yeah, they're doing all right.
I mean, they're doing better than Chelsea in their corresponding league, I'm pretty sure. So, yeah. There you go. That is your weekly West Brom segment, which I'm sure you're all looking forward to. But with that, let's go to something a bit more positive. Let's go to Manchester United. So, guys, I'll let you take it away. How's the match? Yeah.
I didn't watch it. I'm on strike as a United fan until the roof is fixed. I have watched highlights of it.
Yeah, I've watched highlights. I mean, also, it was a free o'clocker. Yeah.
we're good
boys. We don't illegally stream anything.
Yeah, actually, you actually said the right answer. It seemed like a bit of a weird game. I mean, that first goal was a bit of a mess. You know, it's kind of pinball in defence, and then Onana. Do you think Onana should have saved that shot, or do you think he's a bit unsighted?
I don't know. He did get a hand to it, not a very good hand. I think it's one he probably should have saved, personally. But it's so unstable at the back because of injuries and whatnot. I don't think we've had the same back for any match. So it's not a wonder we're leaking goals left and right.
Yeah, there's no balance there, and whether Onana should have saved it or not, I don't think is really the point of the game from like what I've seen in the, I've watched like extended highlights, and then from what I've read as well, again, it's just that severe lack of creativity, which probably comes from the fact that there's just so many players injured, so every game it's just like a bit of a mismatch, you know, throughout the side. Like the only consistent players really are Hoyland, Bruno and Rashford, and like Hoyland aside, none the other two aren't playing particularly well or anywhere near their best. So it's just a real struggle a little bit. But like things look more stable in the second half. And I think we sort of took the game over, but without scoring until obviously injury time. So I think there's reason to be a little bit more positive, particularly as players return. Like the some of the young guns are meant to be back after the international break, like Ahmad and Mainu and people like that. So that should be good. But it's kind of like a get. It was a get out of jail free card, really. Because we get the 3 points, which kind of alleviate the pressure a little bit. And then the international break has kind of come at a good time for United because there's some players returning to training.
Including Sancho?
Probably.
Probably
not.
Probably not.
He's got better things to do.
It does sound like he's done. If he's not apologised by now, it's not going to happen, is it? So I think I think he's as good as gone.
Yeah. It's a shame. Yeah. Because, I mean, if you need creativity, he's not a bad in terms of creativity. And to be honest, I mean, at points, he has been pretty good, at least since January. I don't really know exactly where it's gone wrong, but he hasn't been completely awful.
It's just that there's no consistency, and people argue that he doesn't get a run of, well, he needs a run of 4 or 5 games to kind of prove himself, but you need to earn the right to play those 4 or 5 games. Like, you can't just get chucked in because it's like, oh, well, he needs 5 games to get going, so we're just going to sort of forget about these first 4. It's like he's never kind of stamped his authority on a starting place at all, and his players, there were just players ahead of him. Like now, when you look, it's kind of like even Pellistri was ahead of him before Sancho kind of disappeared a little bit. Antony came in and was stamped on kind of the starting place at times because he's just been more reliable. Like even if people do argue that he doesn't produce the goals and stuff, but he always plays well. Whereas Sancho at times like looks lost, and then there's been the experiments through the middle as well. Well, Martial is there, Hoyland is there, who are actually strikers. And then kind of you got Mount and Eriksen and Bruno, who can play 10, who are all ahead of Sancho. And then on the left, Garnacho's leaped above Sancho. So the strange thing is, Carl, I don't know if you agree, but I don't even think Sancho's been missed.
No, I don't think he has either. It's not like he showed brief flashes here and there, but he certainly never lived up to his billing, unfortunately.
And he is only 23, so I mean, he's got all the time in the world to prove everyone wrong, which hopefully he does, because there's a lot of talent there. But there's obviously problems off the pitch that just aren't being solved, whether they're his fault or not. Like, it's not even for us to say, because it's none of our business, but he needs to leave, and I think he needs to go in January. Like, and maybe he needs to go back to playing abroad somewhere to get out of kind of like the media light that this country produces.
Yeah, it probably wouldn't hurt him to go abroad. It'd be interesting, but it does seem like they're looking at a loan deal where, you know, they're prepared to pay the bulk of his wages just to get him, just to get him away.
I almost wonder if somewhere like Atalanta would do him well. You know, somewhere like kind of quite attacking. I think he needs to go, doesn't he? But
United are attacking. Like you would, at the Atalanta sides of kind of recent years, you would say that's the exact style that Ten Hag's trying to make us play, and he does not fit at all. Like obviously Hoyland's just come from there as well, and it's kind of settled in. Although the goal return isn't there just yet in the league, it certainly is in the Champions League. Like, that he's settled right in. I don't think Sancho would suit that. I think maybe back to the Bundesliga for a season or two to try and lift himself back up, because he needs to get out of whatever this funk is. Maybe, if you're 23, you're quickly is you're quickly 30 and all of a sudden you're looking back at kind of wasted potential.
Yeah.
Not that wasn't like the truth of my life.
I felt like it got a bit real there for a second. I'll tell you what, let's play a bit of a fun game, because obviously you have a lot of injuries at the moment. I'm kind of intrigued to get your opinions on people starting, and if you could have the checkbook, would they stay or would they go in January if it's everyone? So I'll go through the squad very, very quickly, because I know we're a little bit strapped for time. So number one, Andre Onana. Well, what do you guys think? Do you think he just needs a bit of time?
Yeah, I think I think he does need time, but I'm not super. I'm not as convinced on him as Nathan is.
Well, I think I'm more convinced of giving him. I'm not convinced on him as the goalkeeper, but I remember the early days of David De Gea, and the stats are very similar. And David
they
De Gea
are, aren't they? To be fair,
rubbish for the first half a season.
Even down to the floppy wrist as well.
Wow, that's just he doesn't want to come across as a mark, does he?
My wrists are very strong, excuse you. all right, move on to who's the other goalkeeper? Do you even have another goalkeeper?
Yeah, the Turkish kid, Baykinder, his name is.
We haven't seen him play yet, so we can't really comment on him.
Yeah,
he's got great facial hair.
All right, I'll go to defense quickly. So, Lindelof, Maguire, Dallow, and Johnny Evans. Out of those, who would you like to see stay? Who'd you like to see go?
When you say stay, are you talking about January or are you talking about next summer?
If you could choose just to go in terms of for the rebuild.
I think Lindelof stays. I think Maguire goes. I think Johnny Evans is here for one season anyway.
Yeah.
I think Dallow stays.
Okay, interesting. So do you think Johnny Evans will stay for like two seasons and then go once you have someone kind of in to take his place?
Maybe a push, but maybe. I think it might just be for this season personally.
I mean, he came in as fifth choice centre half, and I don't even think Johnny Evans expected to play this regularly. So, and to be honest, he's looked pretty good.
Yeah, he hasn't looked bad at all. In fact,
an experienced head on him, but I don't think he'll be here next season though.
Okay. What about Varane, Martinez, Luke Shaw, Wan-Bissaka, and Reguilon? And Manasseh. I mean,
definitely keep Martinez. Varane, he does look like he's on his last leg, so I can see him going off to Saudi Arabia and probably at the end of the season, not January, but I don't think it'll be there much longer, personally.
No, I agree. I don't think Varane will be here next season anyway. I mean, I'd like to see him stay because he has still got something to offer, but the injuries are quite bad. Martinez, I think, is here for the long haul. Shaw, I think, will probably retire at the club. Wan-Bissaka.
Wan-Bissaka and Dallow is an interesting.
they're a really good dichotomy to have.
If you could combine them, you'd have a hell of a defender there. But yeah. I think there's certain games where you do need Wan-Bissaka because Dallow's defending isn't always the best. But then you need Dallow because Wan-Bissaka's not always the best going forward, so it's I think they do sort of complement each other and
massively.
So I would keep them both, but it's a shame you can't just sort of combine them into one really good player.
I think they offer something so different. Although Dallow is pretty good, like his stats last season for 1-on-1 defending were outstanding, so I think he's a bit underrated in that. But yeah, I think they are perfect.
He was caught out in that goal against Galatasaray. He should have done better.
Yeah, but so were the other 10 players on the pitch.
Well, yeah, I love the way you always have an excuse to defend your favourites.
An excuse, honestly, like one dodgy goal when the entire team's dodgy is kind of like, it's not forgivable, but you kind of go, well, should we throw this player away just because of that? No.
Yeah, really. I think we should.
Yeah.
I like this. This is twist talking. I love this. Right,
I've never been convinced of Dallow, but Nathan's always loved him, which I've never really understood.
I do like Dallow.
You can call him Delo or Delo. I said the same thing, man, but I think he's improved a lot, though, to be fair. But
he's wildly inconsistent. He does have good games, and sometimes I think, oh, maybe I've got him all wrong, and then he'll have a game where I think, oh, Jesus Christ, he's awful.
Okay, what about Malassia and Reguilon, the last of the defenders? I mean, if Shaw is staying, you'd imagine one of these is going, right?
I don't know. I'd like Malassia to stay because he's still really young, so I think he can get a lot better. And he it was weird with him because he started off really well, and then he kind of his form sort of dwindled a bit towards the middle of the season. So I don't really know whether that was a confidence issue, because he did get a bit shown up in the Man City game. But he has shown that he can be really good. And because he's so young, I'd be tempted to keep him around or maybe loan him.
I kind of agree with Carl. I don't think Reguilon will be here next season. I think this is probably a one and done. But Lassie is still young. But personally, I'd loan him out because I would give Alvaro Fernandez a run next season. He's on loan in Spain this season, but he is a very good, very, very good left back.
Dilemmas. And then Brandon true. Williams? No, nothing with Brandon Williams.
I thought he was sold. But Liam keeps asking like he's going to come back. Was he definitely sold? It wasn't alone.
He's been sold.
I heard somewhere else that he's still got.
He's on loan. He's on loan at Ipswich.
He's not going to be back.
I mean, he plays well at Ipswich. I mean, they might get promoted.
He's going to be your new favourite player anyway, Liam. So
I mean, look at that hair. It's gorgeous. I mean, midfielders. That was a bit strange for a second. Okay, so I guess the big one, Casemiro, Mount, and Fernandes. I mean, on paper, you'd assume that those three would be the starters. For the rebuild, I mean, do you think Casemiro can last two or three more years, maybe?
I'm not convinced. It's weird because he seems to have turned into an attacking midfielder, because defensively he's gone awful, but he's doing a lot attacking wise and getting us goals. So it's a very odd one. I mean, Mount, he's been injured and only played a few games, so it's too early to judge him, but he's going to be there for the long haul. He has started to improve slowly, so I think he'll get there and he'll be okay. For Fernandes, obviously, you're going to keep him.
Yeah, personally, I don't think Casemiro will be at the club next season.
No, I have my doubts.
I think him and Varane will both go, and maybe, I don't know, like maybe into Miami or want a more Saudi, as Carla said, or maybe a return to somewhere like Porto for Casemiro. But yeah, I don't think he'll be here next season. Regardless, I think he's still an exceptional player. I think he's just a bit like completely zeroed in on at times. Like it's almost like there's times where people just talk about every single pass the dude makes. Like, but that obviously comes with the reputation. So yeah. I kind of disagree with Carl again. So we're at odds today. I don't think defensively he's awful. I just think at times he's having to do literally everything because everyone around him is in the wrong place. Which doesn't help when you kind of got the fourth or fifth choice centre halves behind you, and then one of the other defenders isn't a fullback, he's playing fullback, and then the other fullback is on loan from Spurs because he wasn't wanted or something like that. So it's really tricky for him. And then he's next to two very attacking midfielders in Bruno and Mount, who only want to be forward. So he's just getting exposed, because the obvious thing to do is to overload Casemiro. Like if you're playing against United, because he's going to be completely by himself.
Do you think he could be converted to be something like a centre back, or do you think it's
no?
Fair enough. Okay, well I thought for out there anyway. Looking at this list, I think there's quite a lot which are going to be going. Amrabat, Eriksen, Donny van de Beek, Scott McTominay, Hannibal, and Mainoo. Thoughts?
Well, I think Eriksen is, again, is another one that probably won't be in the club next season regardless.
Yeah, I mean, he does look quite good when he comes on, actually. But, I think it's as everyone says, it's like his legs are going. So, but then again, we say this, but then they might still be here next season if the Glazers are still the owners, because we might not have the money to replace them. So,
yeah, it is difficult to kind of to say. I think guys like Hannibal and Mainoo are obviously still going to be at the club, whether they're on loan or in starting positions. I mean, Mainoo was in a position to kind of be in the squad before the start of the season. Then he unfortunately got injured. Hannibal is a good player. Mm. He looks really, really solid. So I think he'll still be at the club. Donny van de Beek will definitely go. He'll be one of those players that if new owners do come in, the contract's probably going to get torn up. Because he just needs to leave. McTominay, I think, wants to still be at the club. But whether there's an opportunity for him, he's, 25, 26 now? He needs to be playing week in, week out. So if he's just going to be making these cameos and not being able to nail down a starting place, which history tells you he won't be able to because he's had kind of 3-4 years of being one of the main midfielders and then kind of dropping out the side and then coming back in because of injury, dropping out the side because he can't hold it. And Amrabat, I think, will be at the club next season because it's a really cheap deal. The buy clause is like 30 million.
Yeah, it was only a loan this season because of they couldn't actually buy it because of financial fair play. Yeah, so that'll probably be sewn up next season as a done deal.
Yeah, well, that's interesting. I had a question about Hannibal because I haven't really watched him play. I've seen Mainoo play. He's very impressive in preseason. What kind of player is Hannibal? I mean, he seems like he's very, very active.
Yeah, he's sort of pacey. He's quite box to box. So he's got good legs on. The aggression has been dialed down. Because a couple of seasons ago, every time he came on, he was fucking angry. He's calmed down a lot. He's got good passing range. He's pretty pacey. He can play out wide as well. He's a bit of a shithouse, but you know who he reminds me of? He must be a young, very young Dele Alli.
Wow, that's very big praise. I was gonna say slightly less praise. I was gonna say he reminds me a bit of Guendouzi, but I meant that in a bit of a positive way.
Jesus, dude. You can have a career first.
Hey, they both have fantastic hair, so you know. I'm kind of with you on a lot of these, to be honest. I think with Eriksen, if he could just sort out, he's terrible at tracking back and tracking runners. I don't know what it is with him. For somebody who's played under Conte and played under Pochettino,
he can't move.
I guess that is it. But you know, at least try and track back. I don't know. Maybe I'm being too harsh on him. I mean, he's only, he's 31. Okay, never mind.
Who are we on about?
Sorry, on about Christian Eriksen.
Yeah, but don't forget, he did literally die.
Yeah, but so did Jesus, and he rose after 3 days. So
yeah, Jesus is fictional.
Yeah, but what was his position? What was his tracking Eriksen back like?
That was good. All right. We'll speed through the wingers because there's not too much of them. Sancho, Anthony, Garnacho, Diallo, and Pilistri.
Don't we always do Diallo?
Did you mention Diallo?
No, that's Diallo. Sort of... I think they all stay except Sancho.
Yeah, pretty much.
There might be some loans in there because Ahmad and Pilistri are still quite young, but I think Pilistri is sort of working his way into the squad. Obviously, we saw him start against Bayern and in the Allianz. Was it the Allianz we played? Yeah, it was away, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was away,
which is a big call, and we've seen him start in some games. Anthony, I think, is I was going to say it's here for a long time, but we don't really know that, do we?
And that thing, and that thing's take a turn with his case. So I think he'll still be
here. Depending how the interviews go, like, I think he'll be here for a while if whatever happens. So, Pellistri and Ahmed, I think I said, are already there. Garnacho is probably going to be wearing the 7 next season.
Wow, that's a bold claim.
You think he takes it off Mount?
Yeah, because he's a winger. And that's where the 7 always ends up. His Mount keeps playing like these deeper midfield roles. Mm. And I'm a purist. I hate it when numbers are out of wrong. Like, I really hate it when, like, the number 7 is a fullback or something.
What does Kante?
It doesn't really fucking bother me. It's just a shirt number. I couldn't be arsed if they play.
It's like when William Gallas was Arsenal's number 10. That killed me inside.
And Cancelo was Man City's number 7 last season.
I'm the sort of person that would give them stupid numbers just to piss everyone off. That's how I work. I've met the striker number 1, the goalkeeper number 10, just to hide everyone up.
I'll base it, actually. I'll be... All right, so here's an interesting one. This is the last one, strikers. I have a bit of a controversial one. So, Martial, Rashford and Hoyland. I almost wonder if Rashford should maybe go. He's coming into his peak. You could get a lot of money for him. He's not exactly a team player. I mean, he can be when he wants to be, but he doesn't, he doesn't feel like he tracks back an awful lot. I mean, do you think I'm insane, or is it an idea that maybe we should be entertained?
Well, I'm starting to think it might be an idea that could be entertained. He does have these very long peaks and troughs. I mean, he'll have a peak for a while, like he did last season, where he banged in a lot of goals, and you'd think he'd be on a high after that sort of performance, but he's on such a low at the moment. As you say, his shoulders slump, his head's down, he doesn't track back, and it is very annoying when you know he can play a lot better. I would say Martial would definitely be gone. But for Eric Ten Hag does seem to like him, and that's he just says that to everybody to keep him happy. I don't know. Hoyland's definitely there for the long term.
Yeah, he looks fantastic.
Yeah, I think Martial's definitely going to go. I think the only reason we think Eric likes him is because
he won't leave. Else.
Yeah, so, and if he won't, it's sort of a one-in-one-out sort of situation at the club for a while. Mm. And there's no one quite in the under-21s or academy that's quite ready. There's sort of a couple of players that are on the brink of breaking through, maybe. But they're obviously not consistent enough because Martial is still on the bench. And he'll score the odd goal, I guess, but he'll be gone next summer. I think Rashford will be here forever. I think he needs a bit of period out of the side. Like, he's played a lot of football, a hell of a lot of football, but, like, he scored 32 goals last season. So,
yeah, and before the World Cup, we were having this conversation about him before the World Cup, in all fairness, that he's not playing very well. And then he scored a few in the World Cup, and he's after the World Cup, he was in the form of his life. So you just never know with him. But I do wonder if, because he's apparently quite close with Sancho, whether that, you know, all the shenanigans with that is affecting him a little bit.
Well, I don't know. If he wants to go, he will go. But I think it'd be him that forces the club's hand rather than the club. So I think he'd be a slightly mad to leave, because you don't really know where does he go from Man United, like, on the wages he's on and the fee the club would demand, because he's just signed a new deal. Like,
I could see PSG looking at him if Mbappe goes to Real Madrid. But I think he's almost held to ransom at PSG. I don't think they'll let him go, even though they've apparently got an agreement. I don't think they'll let him go next summer either.
Isn't he out of contract next summer?
Apparently. But he's tried to leave a couple of times, and they keep making him stay. So.
He's probably going to resign.
Yeah, he'll probably resign, because they have to ask. It's Real Madrid on nothing, so it's sort of like He needed to stay at PSG again because Real Madrid are like, oh, we do not have the money.
I don't know. They were looking at launching a £200 million bid at one stage, and he only stayed because they dumped a dumper truck of money outside his house.
Yeah. It will be interesting. I mean, maybe he'll come to Arsenal. I mean, you know.
Oh yeah.
I'm just putting it out there. Here's a question, because obviously, McTominay obviously scored 2 goals right at the last minute. Do you think this could be a turning point, at least in terms of on the pitch? I mean, that is, in terms of going out on a high, that's probably as high as you can go. 2 last-minute winners.
I'm not convinced because we've had a couple of wins here. And, I mean, I thought we looked very... I know they put Palace played a weak inside, but, I mean, ours wasn't the strongest side either. And we looked really good in that game. I thought, well, perhaps, we got the win. Perhaps that'll be a bit of a turning point, but it wasn't. So I'm not prepared to get my hopes up just yet, to be honest.
Mm. Well, you're playing Sheffield next, so...
That's an easy win for Sheffield, then.
I mean, they got to win it at some point, but...
Yeah. But really, honestly, it really wouldn't surprise me if we lost 2-0, 2-1. So it really wouldn't.
Wow. Well, at least you won this week. You know, we got to take the wins whilst you can.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why I'm saying we, but but I don't know. I feel like I'm in this together with you guys to a certain extent. So. I mean, I like United. It's a great club with great history. So it's kind of sad to see how much has been shat on, really. But with that, Arsenal had a very good week this week after having an embarrassing performance in the Champions League. We beat City for the first time in 6 years in an incredibly boring game.
With a flunky game.
So what was that called?
I said with a fluky goal.
Hey, we all count. it was a weird game because it felt like for the first 20 minutes we were under the cosh. We looked a bit nervous. Raya was put under a lot of pressure.
He looked all over the place for the first 20 minutes or so. But to be fair to him, he did pull himself together.
Yeah. And it felt like slowly we kind of edged ourselves into the game, which felt very similar to the Community Shield. Except this time it was more us having the ball than City just pressing us relentlessly. But then we slowly got into it. We started getting a bit more of a foothold. We started bringing the ball up a bit. And I think, I mean, there's not really many turning points per se. But there's definitely moments where that kind of got the crowd on their feet, like Saliba absolutely bodying Haaland to the ground when it went like into a 50-50. That was really quite impressive. I don't think I've ever seen someone do that to Haaland like that. And it was not a game of great quality, but it was a game of great build-up and great tackles. But creativity was lacking awfully for both teams, although it got slightly better when Martinelli came on in the second half for us. And in the end, we got the game's only goal by a Martinelli deflection, and we won. So it was a very tetchy, nervous game with a lot of blood and vinegar, but not really much else in terms of quality. But I think we just needed to get the win. Because even if we played well and lost, I don't think that really would have helped us at all. We needed to get a win over City if we had any chance of being title contenders. I mean, at the end of last year, the points between us were 6. And if Arsenal won any of the games that we lost that season, that would have been 6 and we would have been 11 on points. Which just goes to show how big this win could potentially be. And yeah, it was a very strange game. It was, City hadn't had as this few of shots since 2011. They had 4 shots in the game, which is quite a startling statistic. But Yeah, fantastic defensive performance and not much else.
Yeah, it was quite impressive how you nullified their attacks, to be fair, especially Haaland, who hasn't scored for a couple of games now, so he's obviously finished. But I don't know. I mean, yeah, it is a big win beating Manchester City, but they always go on that big run at the end of the season, and whether you want to call it bottling or not, you did have the title in your hands, and you lost a lot of games you should have won. So it's also a mental thing for Arsenal as well, not just beating City, but if you're in contention again towards the end of the season, you've got to make it count. You can't throw away silly games.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's a game we probably deserve to draw more than win. And to be honest, I probably would have taken a draw at one point. You know, anything but a loss.
Maybe. They should have had that red card, though, shouldn't they?
Yes.
Perfectly honest.
Yeah. I forgot to mention that. Yeah, Kovacic went into a tackle in the first half, which was very on the edge.
I mean, he's lucky not to get a straight red for that. And then not long after, there's another bad tackle, which should have been a yellow, but the referee absolutely bottled it because it's a Man City player.
you know when Howard Webb says that it should have been a red? That's how you know. That's how you know it should have been a red. If he's saying the referee's got it wrong, my God.
Yeah, Michael has absolutely bottled it.
Yeah. Which is a shame because I really like him as a, well, I don't like him as a referee, but he's probably one of the best referees in the league, which probably says a lot. But Nathan, do you have any thoughts on the game or just the results in general?
I think the massive deal for Arsenal more, I think the, as Carl said, the mental belief that it will give is almost more important than the points. Because like that belief was clearly lacking at the end of the last season, particularly during that last sort of 10 games or so. So, but it's all about the follow up now, because it doesn't matter if you beat Man City, if whoever you play next you then lose to. So you've got to keep the pressure on for kind of the whole time and open up that gap, because City are going to probably be back with a vengeance. I thought City were really poor.
Yeah,
like. Rodri is kind of like such a massive miss for them, and they just, with Rico Lewis and Bernardo Silva kind of in those deep positions, they just look so unbalanced. Like, they're not sure whether to push forward or not in possession. The passes were lacking zip, probably again because Rodri's not there, and also Kevin De Bruyne is missing as well. But creative, like the players you would expect to be creating things for Haaland, like your Grealishes, your Fodens, your Bernardo Silvas, they're just doing nothing. Right. So they were really flat, and I thought they looked flat against Wolves. Like, but they were sort of really not looking themselves. So something's not clicking, and that's often where Pep comes up with the answer. But also I think the most telling thing for me was the impact of the bench. Not just Martinelli, but guys like Partey. Who came on and just kept that pressure on, whereas City, they were bringing players on and almost looking worse.
Yeah.
Like more unbalanced and everything like that. So I think City will be back with kind of like a vengeance. They need to be, or they could quickly fall away, because they are on a bad run. Like the loss to Newcastle in the League Cup, the loss to Wolves in the league, the loss to Arsenal. Like, it's not long till the derby, which, like, no matter how bad United are playing, like, we seem to get something at Old Trafford. So we did last season, and historically we have the last few. So, like, two losses in a row could quickly become kind of like three or four.
Yeah, they play Brighton next, which is going to be really interesting because they're on a bad one as well.
Yeah, they've been crap recently.
So it's going to be very interesting. I also want to actually shout out an Arsenal player. Tomiyasu, I thought, was really good coming on. It was weird because he was mostly brought on to face Doku. Actually, had an awful game. He couldn't even get past Zinchenko, of all people. and then Doku went to the other side. So Tomiyasu, for some reason, just decides to run up the pitch, and he gets a header, which falls to Havertz, and that, and then Havertz sets up the shot for Martinelli. And he's, Tomiyasu has never been someone who's been very good at attacking or showed any kind of attacking instinct. So that was kind of a bit of a, it was a bit of a strange one, but it was quite a nice welcome surprise. And it's nice to show that sometimes players can surprise you. So yeah, I just wanted to briefly mention him.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Do you think City might are in danger of not getting top four?
Yeah, well, yeah. This is
definitely.
This is a sort of form that 100%. They'll miss out on UCL this season. I can see it now.
Yeah. God, it's just terrible. But with that, that's probably enough Premier League for now. I mean, that's enough Premier League for 2 weeks, because apparently 1 week of internationals isn't enough, because apparently we need 2 weeks to play Australia and some other shit team.
I hate the international breaks.
That's so stupid. Yeah, I'm not a fan. But we've decided to do something a bit fun today, and we've made an 11 out of all the people from our birth years. So I've done 1997. Nathan has done, I think, 1992. Were you 1992, Nathan?
Yes.
Oh, that's a good guess. And then Carl has done 1849.
What's that?
So yeah, you have to go deep into the archives. But yeah, actually, Carl, let's start with you. I want to hear your 11 if you have it up.
I mean, I've got my 11. I haven't got anything up right now. That's later. That's later on, Liam.
I can change that later. Don't you worry.
Okay, so we're actually 1980, just so listeners know the actual year.
Actually, I think we should start with goalkeepers and defence. We go through goalkeepers and defence. So if you do your goalkeepers and defence first.
So goalkeepers, I was quite limited. So I had to sort of make do with Rob Green in Between the Sticks.
Okay. Nice.
So nice. On the left, I've got Ashley Cole.
Wow.
Nice.
Wow.
In central defence, I've got John Terry. Ledley King. I could have had Jennifer Woodgate as well, but I preferred those two, to be honest. And on the right, even though he's predominantly a left, I didn't really have anyone on the left defensively, but I'm pretty sure he could do the job. It is John Arne Riise.
Oh, damn! But that's a name I haven't heard for quite a few years. He's a streets will never forget kind of guy, isn't he?
Mm.
Yes. Yeah. You'd never wanted him to take a shot from above 30 yards because it was going top bins every time.
Yeah. God. Yeah. He was something. That's for sure. That's a very good.
It's very good.
That's really impressive. I mean,
I'd be a bit worried about the goalkeeper, but otherwise, yeah. I think the defense is quite solid. To be fair.
Well, as long as you don't play the USA, I think you're probably all right. Yeah. Wow, Nathan, that's gonna take some doing.
In goal, we got Alisson. Could have had Ter Stegen. I've gone Alisson.
Oh wow, Alisson.
Yeah. Left back. I didn't really have a left back, so I've had to put Carvajal there.
Okay.
Good player. Centre halves, I got Alaba. And I can never say his name, but Stefan de Vrij. His name? Yeah.
Inter Milan defender. Yeah.
Okay. Right back, I got Sergio Roberto.
Okay. It's not too bad.
No.
Solid.
I love a good utility man, Sergio Roberto. I think he's a very underrated player.
Yeah. Most famously scored the winner in the Barcelona comeback against PSG.
Yes, man. Well, what a match that was. Damn, I think Carl's slightly winning on that 11, to be honest. But
We've got to midfield, yeah.
You haven't got to mine, yeah. Oh, Jesus. So in goal, I have got... I had two. I had a bit of a joke one and a real one. I wanted to choose Drake Callender because, you know, we were going by years, but I didn't know who the fuck he was. So I went to Kobel, who's the goalkeeper for Borussia Dortmund. This kind of shows the quality of my squad. I have Ben White, a right back. I have Ruben Diaz, centre back.
Not too bad, actually.
Well, just you wait, Carl. I have Nat Phillips.
God.
Oh my
and
God.
Anthony Robinson from Fulham.
What?
So, yeah, a bit of a mixed bag there. I mean, Nat Phillips is maybe a Champions League winner. I don't know if he's in the squad. Probably not.
No, he wasn't.
Well, shit. Well, you know what? I feel a little bit better about my midfield, so I'm going to go with midfield. So I'm going Bentancur, because, you know, if you cheered him breaking his ACL, means one of your players is going to get injured, according to Spurs fans, because they're fucking idiots. Bruno Guimaraes.
Oh, yeah, that's not a bad one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a pretty good one. I don't know if I said his name right, but Bruno G.
Yeah,
sounded right.
Thank you. I've been practicing my Portuguese, and I'm going, I think, Florian Neuhaus, who is...
Not too familiar with him, if I'm honest.
No, he's a German. He's a German midfielder in Germany. No surprise there. But he's pretty solid. He's a very good passer, and to be honest, I just quite like his name, to be honest.
Does he play for a particular club?
I believe last time I checked, he played for Borussia Mönchengladbach.
Not bad.
Okay.
Let me check his name. Where is he? Where do you? He's probably there. Oh, he's come up with Neuhaus chocolate when I googled him. So.
Oh, okay.
That's probably a sign. Nathan, let's hear your midfield.
Well, I'm doing a 4-2-3-1. So, do you want the two and the three?
Yeah. Why don't you give us the two CDMs and the CAM?
Okay, Verratti. Ooh. And Casemiro.
Oh, wow.
And at 10, I have Neymar.
Oh, that is class. Wow, yeah.
Damn, retirement FC. That's a head of midfield.
Hey, I'm old.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I never realised Neymar and Casemiro were that old. Bloody hell.
Yeah. That's actually mental, to be fair. I think Verratti's a very underrated player, to be fair.
Mm.
Damn, that's a really good midfield. Holy
yeah,
God.
I thought my midfield was pretty good, but yeah, damn.
Oh, I want to hear your midfield now, Carl.
So on left winger, I've got Florent Malouda.
Nice.
On the right, I've got Kai.
Ooh, okay.
Who's that? Yeah, I thought he was pretty decent.
He was.
Got quite a lot of Liverpool players born the same year as me. Because in midfield I've got Steven Gerrard,
Slippy G, nice,
and Xavi.
Oh, wow!
You don't get much better than him, so you know I'm quite happy with that.
He's going to have to do all the work in the middle of the park, isn't he?
No defence is getting done in that midfield.
Yeah.
Wow, that is a oh my god! I would love to see that midfield though. So who was your was Malouda you said for your left wing?
Yeah.
Ooh, okay.
He was quite good at Chelsea. I don't know.
Yeah, he was
really I don't know what really happened to him, but
I was going to say
moments.
I remember him at Chelsea. I can't remember where the hell he went after.
No, I can't. I was trying to think as well.
He went to Trabzonspor in Turkey.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Oh, that's it. Okay. It sounds like you're going to say something else as well. But all right. Well, you know what?
He went there and he had a really nice time.
That's good. I'm happy you had a good time. Actually, Carl, because you just went, let's go back where we belong. Let's hear your forward line, your strikers.
So I'm sort of playing. He's almost like a number 10, like sort of Cantona used to play, right? Just behind the striker. So I've got Ronaldinho.
Ooh.
And someone who I thought was pretty good in his heyday, Robbie Keane.
He's my favourite ever Spurs player. You know, I think it's probably the Irishness in him, but he was a hell of a striker.
It was good for Inter Milan, and I always thought he was unfairly treated at Liverpool because he came in the summer and he was gone by January, wasn't he? It was a really weird state of affairs. It's sort of like when Rafa Benitez decided he was playing FIFA, basically, when he was buying and selling players.
Was that the year that Torres went?
Can't remember.
No.
No? Was it not the year that Torres went to Chelsea?
No, because Benitez wasn't there anymore.
Okay, no, maybe I must be.
Kenny Dalglish was the manager then, and that's the January when they bought in Suarez and Andy Carroll.
Oh, okay. Maybe that's what I was confusing it for. Oh, that's very. I quite like that forward line though. Yeah,
it's not bad, is it?
No, yeah. Damn. Okay. Oh, and then Nathan, I want to hear your forward line before the main events.
Front three. So I've got Heung-min Song.
Ooh.
Got Sadio Mane.
Oh, not bad in the middle. All.
Got Mohamed Salah.
That is pretty good. That is good.
On the bench as well. Would you like to hear the bench?
Hey, hang on. You're jumping ahead, sir.
I haven't
given mine yet. But
I didn't bother doing the bench.
No, neither did I.
I didn't know that was on the remit.
I don't have enough players to do a bench.
I'm not sure I did, in all fairness, but still.
Wow, that is. God, you both of your forward lines are very impressive.
Here you go.
So, my forward line. Okay, I just want to put this out there. Okay, it wasn't 1997 wasn't a vintage year in terms of forwards. Okay, so these are 25, 26 year olds. So I have Gabriel Jesus, which is
not too bad.
Not too bad. This one really surprised me. Mitoma is 25, 26.
Oh, right.
I thought he was like 22 or something.
Yeah, I thought he was younger.
Yeah. And then, the best one of the lots, Carlin Grant.
I thought you were joking when you said that. But Liam wins. Liam's team wins hands down. Jesus Christ. The goat.
I'm sorry. I know it's like picking Messi, but you know I just can't knock Karen Grant.
Good God.
So I mean I think they're all pretty tight, you know. I think my Nat Phillips is very close to.
I'd like to see my and Nathan's team play each other. I must admit, I think that could
be pretty good.
Yeah.
Mm.
Neymar versus Ronaldinho and
Xavi
versus Salah. Yeah, that's some interesting.
Yeah,
some interesting stuff. But I've got options coming off the bench. Like if stuff's going wrong, I'm bringing Mane off. I'm moving Salah out wide, and I'm bringing on Morata.
Oh, that's not bad.
Koke, the Atletico Madrid Koke.
Oh, he's good, isn't he? Koke, yeah.
Isco, Eriksen, and Liam, Granit Xhaka.
Oh, yes. Here we go.
I nearly put him in the starting 11 just for you, but I thought I can't bench for Rat.
I wish you did. Oh, wow. I mean, if you don't want to score any goals, then yeah, Morata is definitely the person you want to bring on, to be fair.
Wow, no, he'll hold the ball up whilst Salah and Song run through.
So, yeah, I don't think I have many more options outside of Robbie Keane and Ronaldinho that I can remember. I have quite a few different options in defence, as I say, Woodgate.
I know I could have had Callum Wilson, but he wasn't making it. Sorry, Callum.
Oh, I just realised I could have fucking put Nkunku in.
Has anyone ever seen him play?
No, I haven't, to be fair. Oh, apparently Rashford is 25, 26. Well, I don't think he's getting in ahead of Carvin Grant. So
no, let's not be silly now, Liam. Come on.
Sorry, that's very silly of me. Also Chiesa. Wow. Richarlison. Oh, I should have put him in. God's sake, man.
You are really bad at Googling.
Oh, I'm losing my touch. Yeah.
Wow. I don't think you'd put Richarlison in if you paid him.
No, there's no point. But yeah, Liam, I think you're last. And I think, Carl, I think we would have a pretty interesting game.
I really do, yeah.
I'm worried about what Verratti would do to Stevie G.
Oh man, well,
I mean Terry would just shag all their wives, so you know.
Was Terry in your team?
Yeah, John Terry.
Yeah, and Ledley King. I mean, the good thing is Carl doesn't have a bench, and Ledley King's only going to be able to play for 30 minutes.
I've got Woodgate. He can come in. He was half decent in his day.
He was actually a good player.
He was very underrated. I feel like he's a bit of a joke because he went to Real Madrid, but like, he's a good player.
He was a very good player for Middlesbrough. That's standard. Yeah. He's a good manager as well now.
Mm.
Yeah. How old is Southgate? Is he either of your ages?
No.
Yeah, I think Southgate's 31.
He's even older than me. I think he's somewhere around 49, 50, isn't he? Okay.
He had a tough paper round, Liam.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. Oh, he's 53. Okay, I'm sorry.
Oh, there you go. Then fucking out way older than me. 10 years older than me, you cheeky butt.
I'm with that. I think we should go to Patrick's. Jesus Christ. What an episode this has been. This has been a good episode, guys. So let's go out on a bloody well high, shall we? Nathan, we give me a Patrick so Carl has time to think of his.
Oh, good luck to you, Carl. Have a good think. So I
really drag it out if you can.
I have scoured the lands for who I think I should nominate as a Patrick. And I've looked far and wide. And I would like to nominate Danny DeVito. Because I watched the new Haunted Mansion the other day, and I am an Always Sunny fan as well, and he's in the new Haunted Mansion, and he's still very funny, and I thought it was a really good movie. I think no one liked it because the reviews were really poor, but I thought it was a damn good time, very entertaining, had strong message about getting over grief so you don't get haunted by literal ghosts. And Danny DeVito is hilarious.
You can't go far wrong with Danny DeVito.
Yeah, what a guy. And he also, he also directed Matilda. So, you know, I'm sure that's obituary. I don't know why I mentioned him, Matilda, to be honest.
Yeah.
What the fuck's wrong with me? I'm losing my head today. My pick, I'm trying to stall for time here. Is obviously, if people don't know, Eden Hazard retired today. Eden Hazard, you know, the brother of Fulgham Hazard. And Yaya Toure posted a tribute to him on his Instagram of Hazard's butt. And he says, "I hate to see you go, but I love to watch you leave. # used for butts." So if you don't know anything about Yaya Toure, he's fucking obsessed with footballers' bums.
Was he really?
Yeah, he literally written an article for The Athletic, which is, I'm not even kidding, it's probably around 3,000 words about how important the butt is in football.
He likes his glutes.
I mean, he probably had very good glutes, to be fair to him. So just don't leave his birthday cake behind. Carl. How's the searching going, my friend?
Yeah, well, you stretched this out far and wide.
Well, not very well. I'm gonna go for our very own Reece Saunders for quitting the podcast and leaving us in the shit. Fucking wanker.
Oh God.
Love you really.
I did not see that coming. You know, I think I'm gonna go for Rhys Saunders.
I think I'm gonna go for Forgan Hazard's brother's butt. Isn't there a third Hazard brother?
I think it is. I think it's Water Hazard.
Don't drown. The thing is, I think Rhys is already in the Patricks.
Oh, in my case, fuck him. No, okay.
He might not be, though. I might be thinking of somebody else.
I don't know. With Paul,
we'll put Rhys in. Rhys can go in for different reasons. It's like getting two Hall of Fame rings.
Yeah.
Yeah, why not? That works. And he might also be becoming a dad soon. So, you know what? Fair play to him.
I don't think there's any might be about it unless something goes horrendously wrong.
Yeah, I don't know why I said that, but okay.
You're too busy. We know you're too busy looking through Yaya Toure's Instagram to find more butts. Mm.
I actually am. Yes. Do you guys have any plugs you want to put before you go?
Just Yaya Toure's Instagram. Haunted Mansion on Disney Plus. It's very good. I also watched A Nun 2 at the weekend. Great movie. So that's available on streaming. I've got nothing else. I think that's it.
Well, don't plug anything Rogue Opinions, whatever you do.
Carl, you can listen to me and Scott and Reese talk about the Ahsoka series. You can check that out. And me and Scott have also started covering the Loki series. We've done the first episode of that, which should be up soon, so check that out for our views and opinions on Loki season 2.
And you can find me holding a boombox outside your window waiting for your love every single night.
Turn it down, Liam!